We're going to hit the pause button on our recent study of pictures of the church that we've been going through over the past couple months. As we now enter into December and the Christmas season, we're going to focus on the birth of Christ as we typically do this time of year. So I'd ask that you take your Bible and open to Luke chapter 1. If you don't have a Bible, there are some under the chairs there. If you're using a church Bible, you can find our passage on page 724. And I'd ask that you just open that up and keep it open today because we're going to go back to it quite a bit. So Luke chapter 1, again, verses 46 through 55. This is, you may have a title in your Bible that says Mary's Song. Not sure if she sang this or she prayed this or she just said this, but these are some beautiful words in light of the birth of Christ that we're going to look at this morning. Again, Luke 1, page 724, verses 46 through 55. Says, "And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Well, it's important to keep in mind the context as we go through these words this morning. The context is Mary had just received the great news that she would be the one who would bear the Messiah, the Christ child. And part of that news, as you heard in your scripture reading this morning, was that her relative, Elizabeth, was also going to bear a child. And so what we see is on one hand, we have Elizabeth, who the Bible says was well along in years. She was up there in age. Likely what is meant by that is she was past the normal age of childbearing. And some of you ladies may be there. So you know where Elizabeth was at on one hand. And on the other hand, we have Mary, who was young, who was able to bear children, but she was a virgin. She was engaged to be married to Joseph, but they had not been intimate in that way for her to be pregnant. And so what God says is both of these ladies are going to have babies, and these babies would ultimately change the world as Elizabeth would bear a son named John, who we would call John the Baptist, and Mary would bear a son named Jesus, who would be the Savior of the world, who is Lord and Christ. And again, these two babies would change the world. And so after Mary received this news of what was going to happen in her and what was already happening in Elizabeth, she makes the journey from Nazareth down to a little town in Judea where Elizabeth was living in her home. And it's in this context that Mary begins to say these words that we read in Luke chapter 1. Well, what do we see? Well, we see Mary begins with words of praise. Words of praise. Let me ask you, if you could try to put yourself, if you were living back in Mary's day and an angel were to come to you and say, hey, you're gonna bear the Christ child, the one who's going to be called Son of the Most High, would you respond with words of praise? I know what you men are thinking. I don't think God would ever ask me to do that. And you're right, he probably wouldn't. But would you respond with words of praise if God was going to ask you to do something that seemed impossible? Something that defied human reason, human logic. Something that would happen to you that you were called to do, and you knew that when people looked at you, they'd probably ridicule you and say, yeah, right. Tell us another one. You were conceived by the Holy Spirit, Mary? Yeah, right. Tell us another one. And yet her response was, I'm going to praise God. And so we read in the beginning of this song, my soul glorifies the Lord. Some of your Bibles may have the word magnifies there. And that is why this is called the Magnificat in the Latin. That's what that word is there. In the Greek language, this is the word. It is megaleno. Now, you all know what mega means, right? What is mega? It is big. It is, like Fusillo says, huge. It's great. And so what Mary says is, God, I want your name to be great. I want your name to be big in all of this. How easy would it have been for Mary to get a big head, right, in all of this and what was going on? But she doesn't. She has a humble attitude. We'll look at that later. But she has a humble heart because she wants God's name to be great, not her name, but God's name to be magnified and to be glorified. It reminds me of the words of the son of Elizabeth, who 30 years after this song, he would say this in John chapter 3, verse 30. Let's look at that. John the Baptist once said this, he, referring to Jesus, he must become what, church? Greater. And I must become less. This was the heart of John the Baptist. May this be our heart as believers as well. God, we want you to be greater. We want to get into the background. We just want you glorified, you magnified. Mary goes on to say basically the same thing using different words. And in the Hebrew language, this kind of poetry is called parallelism. And all that means is like parallel lines, right? Two lines going in the same direction. Mary's saying the same thing, but they're two different statements. And so after saying, my soul glorifies the Lord, she says, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary is saying, I am going to glorify God. I am going to praise God from the depths of my being. Not just with my mind. You ever can just say things in our mind and they're not really from our heart. We just kind of say them. Mary says, I want it to be so much more than that. I want my words of praise to come from the depth of my soul, the depth of my being. Can you say the same thing? Listen to what David says. This was David's heart in Psalm 103. Verse 1, we read this. David says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Again, do you praise God from the depth of your soul, from the very depths of your being? How many of you learned that song in Sunday school as a young child? I've got the joy, joy, joy. Where? Yeah. Down in my heart, right? Deep down in my heart, this is where this joy springs from. Is that you today? One of the things I've so appreciated about the young people that have been a part of our church family, I think of Broken Ground. There's Brent and Carl up there, right? And Jordan and Josh aren't here, but some of the songs that they would write and sing, I don't know their hearts, but it sure seemed like the songs were coming from the depths of their soul. That's been so encouraging to see that. You know what they could have done? They could have said, hey, let's come up with a fancy little beat, a really catchy beat, and then we'll just kind of take some words and attach them to that. But it's so much different when they just write out of the experiences of their walk with Christ and their soul. They're crying from their soul these words, and they're saying them. And many of our hymns that we sing, many of our modern songs, they're from the depths of people's souls. And so as you sing, are you singing from the very depths of your soul? I pray that you are. Do you desire to make God great, to magnify him, because your heart is so full of praise? If you're here today and you have trouble, maybe just praising God, maybe you tend to drift toward complaining rather than praising, I would encourage you to read the Psalms. Just read the Psalms. Don't fly through them. Read them slow. Read a verse. Read it again. Say that if you're able to, say the verse out loud. Say the Psalms out loud. If you can be alone and just say them out loud and hear the words hit your own ears, say them out loud. Pray them back to God. Pray the Psalms back to God. You may even want to download GarageBand. Some of you know what that is, right? And you can make up your own beat to the Psalms, and you can sing the Psalms as well. Do you know you can take some certain beats and rhythms and sing them to different songs? Did you ever notice that? Like you can take Gilligan's Island and the theme song and sing, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see." You can do that. Well, you can do that with the Psalms. Just take a beat and just sing them back to God. But sing them from the depths of your heart. We don't want to be these shallow, plastic face Christians who can say the right things, but our hearts are empty. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said? Jesus quoted Isaiah to the Pharisees. "Oh, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are so, so far from me." God help us not to have hearts that are far from him, but they're intimate with him. And out of this intimacy springs a desire to praise him, a desire to glorify him. As we think about Mary's praise, there are two things that I want us to see in this song. Two things that she makes mention of who God is, his attributes. Number one is his mercy, and number two is his might. Let's first look at his mercy. We see she talks about his mercy in verse 50. If you have your Bible open, again, verse 50 says, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." And in verse 54, she says, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful." She stresses the mercy of God. What is mercy? Many of you have learned the definition of mercy, right? It is not getting what we truly deserve. So when God decides not to punish me for my sins in a just way, and rather extend kindness to me, that is mercy. That's the mercy of God. And so here Mary praises God for his mercy. And though Mary was certainly a blessed woman, she was a righteous woman, she was a humble, faith-filled woman, she knew this, that she still needed the mercy of God. What does she say in verse 47? She praises God who is who? She says, "My Savior." If you write in your Bible or underline in your Bible, please underline or circle that word, "my." Because what Mary is saying there is that I need a Savior too. I'm a sinner who needs saving. And so if Mary, who was a righteous, faith-filled woman, needed saving and needed mercy, what does that say for you and I? I think we need mercy as well, right? Not only us who are here today, but the whole world needs the mercy of God. That means our family members. That means our friends, our co-workers, even our enemies. They need the mercy of God. Everyone needs the mercy of God. And this is what Mary is saying here when she calls God her Savior. And the way you and I receive the mercy of God is not by trying harder to be a good person. It's not by practicing random acts of kindness. It's not by giving money to a charity or to some other cause. That's not how the mercy comes to us. How does the mercy of God come to us, or why does it come to us? It comes to us because the Bible says we're dead in our sins and we need to be made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Let's look at that. Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. Beautiful passage on the mercy of God. Paul says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us, you can put your name there. Eric lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of my sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in what? Mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved, and by grace that I have been saved, by grace that anyone is saved. Let me ask you today, have you received the mercy of God? Do you understand that you're a sinner and that you've fallen short? As the Bible says, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. God has a perfect standard of righteousness and of living and of holiness. And all of us have come below that bar. And because we've sinned, God, in his justice, demands punishment for sin. That's how holy he is. And so the reason we need mercy is because without mercy, then judgment is coming my way and your way. And so the mercy that we can find today is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this birth is so amazing, so beautiful for us today. Well, the second attribute that Mary exalts is the power of God. We see that in verse 49. She says, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Of course, no wonder she calls God the Mighty One when you think about what had just happened to her. Right? She is bearing a child without ever knowing a man in the sexual way. A supernatural act of God has just taken place within her womb, displaying that God is certainly the Mighty One. God is powerful to do such a thing. And so she declares that he is the Mighty One. Not only has God displayed his power in that way to Mary, but also notice, I'll just read my notes. That might be easier, right? I'm trying to get out. But notice she also speaks of his power to cast down those who are proud in their own eyes. We find this in our passage again in verses 51 through 53. Mary says, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty." And what Mary is declaring here is this. Mary knew this important truth, that God was on the throne, that God reigned. And Mary believed that, and she knew that by sending Christ, because she knew that God in his sovereignty has the power to bring down nations and to raise up nations, to bring down rulers and to raise up rulers. You see, God works in ways that humans don't always think they should go. Humans often think this way, right? Human rulers think this way. If we can get enough power, we can get enough money, we can get enough strength, we're never going to fall. But read your Bible, read history, and that is not always the case, is it? Because God has the power to bring down the mighty, bring down the proud and the arrogant and the haughty. And he has the power to raise up the humble. And Mary is saying, "God, thank you for just looking at my humble estate and raising me up in a sense by allowing me to bear the Christ child." Well, how about you? Do you exalt God as the Mighty One? Or are you resting in your own might? And that could come in the form of maybe power and influence, or maybe money. Maybe it's wisdom, maybe it's strength, whatever it might be, your own power or ability. Well, Mary put her hope in her mighty God, and may we do the same. Not only does Mary have this deep desire to praise God, but we see a deep humility in Mary as well. Again, how easy would it have been for Mary to get a big head? Wouldn't it have? I mean, you think Mary may have been tempted to say, hey, so, I don't want to brag or anything, but just so you know, I'm going to be the one bearing the Messiah. I'm going to be the one bearing the Christ child, like the Savior of the world here, people. So, like, you know, I just saying, you know, how easy could she have had that attitude? But she doesn't. She has a very humble attitude. She wants all the glory to go to God. Let me ask you, how would you have responded to Elizabeth and her words? I want to read to you what Elizabeth says out of Luke 1. It'll be up on the screen. Luke 1, 42 and 43. Again, Mary and Elizabeth are together in the home of Elizabeth. In verse 42, in a loud voice, this is Elizabeth, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Elizabeth is saying, Mary, you are so stinking blessed. I know we're relatives, but could I like get your autograph here or something? Because you are like, whew, you are highly favored and blessed here. How would you have responded if Elizabeth had said those words to you? With pride or with humility? Well, Mary responds with great, great humility. Mary remained humble. And yet we see throughout the history of the church has often tried to raise Mary up to a position that she never wanted to be and God never wanted her to be at either. She is not a co-redeemer with Jesus. Jesus is the only redeemer. She is not the mediator between God and man. Christ Jesus is the only mediator. And so please don't put Mary up where she never intended to be. She was a sinner who needed a Savior just like us. She needed the cross of her Son just like we need the cross of Christ in our lives. And she knew that. She humbly knew that. We also see in Mary's humility a desire to trust in God as well. Again, think about Mary. An angel comes to you and says, hey, what's going to happen to you is really, it's impossible. But know that nothing is impossible with God. And it's going to be a God thing that happens to you. I want to read her response in Luke 1, verse 38. Mary says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. That's an incredible response after someone is, if you're finding out that you're going to bear the Christ child, the supernatural thing is going to happen. And she just said, "I'm just the servant of the living God. May it be, Lord, let it be. What you said, let it happen to me. Let it happen." A humble heart is a trusting heart. Let me say that again. A humble heart is a trusting heart. Whereas a proud heart will often say, "I got this. I don't need God. I got this. I can handle this." But a humble heart says, "I'm going to trust in God." And this is Mary's heart that we see. A great verse about trusting in God. Many of you know it by heart. It's Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Let's look at that. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." How are you doing at trusting in the Lord? Do you believe that his plans are ultimately the best plans? And so I'm gonna go with God rather than my way. I'm going to take his way. Are you trusting like Mary? Well, as we close today, I pray that your heart was encouraged and challenged by these words that Mary spoke so long ago, and encourage you to, even this week, reread that passage. Just read it again and again and ask God to to just encourage your heart by what she said. But there's a part of this passage I just want to touch on that has to do with Abraham. And we read this in the last two verses. Mary says, "He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Why is Abraham mentioned there, tucked away in this passage about all that God would do and all that? Well, as many of you know, Abraham is seen as the father of the Jewish nation, because Abraham would bear Isaac, and then Isaac would have Jacob. Out of Jacob would be the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Abraham is seen as the father of the Jewish nation, but Abraham is also seen as the father of every Christian. Because what the Bible teaches, the Apostle Paul teaches in places like Galatians and Romans, is that if you are in Christ, if you're a believer in Jesus, then you are a descendant of Abraham. Not a physical, biological descendant of Abraham, but in the spiritual sense, you are a child of Abraham. And just as Abraham was a friend of God, you too can be a friend of God. How so? How did Abraham become right with God? By faith. He took God at his word. God said, "Abraham, I want you to get up and go." And so Abraham got up and went. Abraham believed God, the Bible says, and it was accounted to him, credited to him as righteousness. It's an amazing statement. How many of us try to be righteous on our own before God? God says it can't happen. There's one way that you can become righteous, and that is faith. That is in believing in me, believing in what I say. Well, how about us today? How can we be made righteous? How can we be a descendant of Abraham? By trusting in what God has said. About who? About his son, Jesus Christ. Believing that we are sinners and we need a Savior. Believing this truth that God has said in his word, that God so loved the world that he did something. He gave us a gift. He gave us his son. His son, the Lord Jesus, who was born of the Virgin Mary, who lived a sinless life, who went to a cruel cross, who was beaten, humiliated, and he was crucified for us. He died a death he did not deserve to die. And on the cross, he was an atoning sacrifice. All the wrath of God that was due me, it was placed on Jesus. He was my substitute. He was your substitute. He was buried. He rose again on the third day. He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And one day he's coming back again. This is the Son that we're called to believe in. And God says, if you believe in my Son, this gift, you will have everlasting life. And that's what's so important about Abraham. The blessing that was for Abraham and his descendants is a blessing that we can take part in today by trusting in Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your plan. And Lord, as we read your word, we know that this could not be concocted by man. Lord, we would have done it so differently. And yet, Lord, you in your sovereign will allowed Jesus the Son to be born and to die for us so that we might be forgiven and have everlasting life, and to know that you're a God of mercy, not only a holy, just God, but you have the power to forgive sins. And so today, I pray that each and every one here today would call out to you for mercy, to know that there's no other way to be saved except through Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. God, that each of us would experience the new life that happens when we bow to the Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for each one here. Pray that you'd be working in their hearts as you reveal the gospel. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And we'll have a song. No, we won't. We're going to have communion. Sorry.